a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
So this great cup is your guys' as well. And so anybody that wants to say it, we only got five. But guess what? How many did they get this year?
Well, it's a big show today, still riding high on the riders. Parade day today. Lots of green and white going to be in the office, in stores today. People still donning their jerseys. Parade happening at 2 o'clock this afternoon to celebrate that Grey Cup victory. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, 2 o'clock on Albert Street. Basically, if you want to watch, somewhere between 13th Avenue and 20th. Is where they ask you to line up. Or, of course, you can watch at the ledge. There'll be some speeches there starting at 3 o'clock. You can't park at the ledge, though, so keep that in mind. Parking has got to be a strategic focus for you if you're going to participate in the parade. Well, we have got a busy Tuesday show. Lots to talk about. The Liberal government escaped the confidence vote yesterday, barely. We'll talk about how that shook out. And although we won't see a federal election anytime soon, Election Saskatchewan has come out with two major post-election reports. They have recommendations for change in the next provincial election. We'll talk with the chief electoral officer after nine about that. We're hearing mixed messages of requirements when crossing the border. Now, we know things have changed, but even people calling into the show, we've had some people say, you know what, I sailed through the border, no problem. Others are getting pictures taken, fingerprints taken, you name it, filling out paperwork. I've got a guest today that will explain what the rules are and how they're being enforced. And if you followed this story, I know many people have. I've had conversations on the text line with people about the BC Supreme Court in a recent decision ruled the Cowichan tribes of BC have established Aboriginal title to roughly 800 acres of land. Why is this significant? Well, currently on those 800 acres are businesses, private homes, a park. So what does that mean? What does that mean for the people who have homes on this land if that land is now being described as having Aboriginal title and part of the Cowichan tribe? And what's the significance of this ruling for the rest of Canada? There's likely going to be more court challenges on this yet, but we will bring constitutional expert Dwight Newman on the program this morning at 10:30 to talk about that. All right, let's get going with today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, you know, we talk about nation building projects. We talk about all of the different things that are happening across Canada. And of course, we have focused a lot in Saskatchewan on mining here, potash, uranium. We've had all of the big players on the program to talk about it. In fact, we've talked a lot about, you know, the commodity that we produce through mining in the province and then what that value add does look like currently and what it could look like. Well, there's industries across Canada that are having this same conversation. And we recently have really upped, I would suggest, the focus intensity that we have talked about critical minerals. It's become a very hot topic of conversation and has become the focus of some of the latest announcements from the federal government. Of course, we've got that copper mine here in Saskatchewan. Nickel was what was part of the latest suite of announcements that came out with regard to nation building projects just last week. I wanted to dig into this a little bit more. I read an article in the Financial Post about a week ago that talked about Canadian nickel and still the challenge we have when it comes to China honing in on the market in many ways, that even though we can produce it more cheaply than they can in China, there's still some challenges when it comes to finding those markets on a geopolitical scale. Mark Selby was quoted in this Financial Post article. Mark Selby is the chief executive officer of the Toronto-based Canada Nickel, and Mark Selby joins us by phone this morning. Mark, I'm happy to have you on the program.
Glad to be here.
So, you know, if we talk about and we look at the nickel industry, give us an idea of the ups and downs of the industry through the years. Where are we at today, 2025?
Yeah, so nickel has always been a high-growth metal. Its primary uses are in stainless steel and alloy. So it's literally everywhere around you, whether it's your cutlery in your drawer, your pots and pans, to entire chemical industrial plants, to the jet engines that you fly on an airplane. You know, none of that can happen without nickel-containing stainless steel. And then recently, in terms of electric vehicles, nickel is the metal that gives electric vehicles the potential for the longest range, which is, you know, something everyone's pretty concerned about. So that's a big new growth market. And, it makes nickel's going to be an exciting metal for the next 30 plus years.
So we recently have heard about the second wave of these nation building projects announced by Prime Minister Mark Carney. Can you talk about the impact that's having on your industry?
Yeah, no, it's tremendous to get that recognition. You know, our project is a very large project. It would be the Western world's largest nickel operation, larger than the Sudbury mines that historically in Canada were the big source of nickel. And so, you know, one, having that international profile, two, in terms of all the domestic government funding opportunities that are there, you know, that sort of, you know, puts us in the express lane in terms of being able, to access that money. It'll be helpful. You know, we're well down the path on permitting already, so we won't need that much help. But, you know, again, having that extra voice at the table is always very helpful. And then, you know, we're looking to basically break ground by the end of next year.
Can you give us a sense, Mark, of what this federal announcement and support will do for, as you said, this is a project it's not brand new. It's already well in development. So what does this federal support do?
Yeah, this really helps us, you know, get over the line in terms of getting pieces in place. You know, it's whenever you're doing a large project funding, you know, we're talking and investing, you know, over $2 billion in the first phase of the project. And then, you know, there's additional project components, you know, that each come with $1 billion price tags. And so, you know, to be able to put a funding package of that scale together, you've got a number of pieces that need to come together, all at one time. And so, again, having that government endorsement up front, you know, makes it, you know, clear to the potential global financiers who are going to step in that the government wants to make this happen. You know, and again, domestically, you know, getting everything lined up is just that much, much easier when there's that clear focus and that clear sense of direction from the government.
Mark Selby is my guest, Chief Executive Officer of Toronto-based Canada Nickel. I actually read an article you were quoted in the Financial Post here in the last week or so, talking about Canada being able to produce minerals much cheaper than China, but China still is a problem for us. Can you explain what that relationship looks like?
Yeah, so China, the last 15 years, we've only really woken up to the fact that we've been in a critical minerals war with China for the last 15 years, and we just woke up about 3 or 4 years ago to that reality. And so, there's a lot of specific metals, rare earths and graphite are two that have, you know, had the headlines recently, but nickel, cobalt, a bunch of other materials that we need, you know, to have a modern economy have now largely, you know, become where China controls 80 to 90% plus of the processing of those metals. And nickel is one of them. They don't have a lot of nickel in China, but Chinese companies have gone into a part of Indonesia that does have a lot of nickel and has ramped up a huge nickel industry there. Unfortunately, it comes with massive environmental damage, a very poor labor safety track record. But, you know, that's, you know, we want to be the cleaner, greener alternative to this supply out of China. And thankfully, again, the deposits that we have in and around Timmins, and we've got multiple deposits. We hope that Crawford is just the first of several projects that will get built in the area. We're able to operate at a much lower cost point than the Chinese. We just need the capital to get going.
So when you talk about China and their involvement in this market, is it the raw nickel itself as a commodity, or is it the value add, or is it both that they are involved in?
Yeah, it's really both. So what they've done is they've basically built plants in Indonesia close to mineral deposits. Now, they don't necessarily, a lot of the mines are owned by Indonesian companies, but those mines really couldn't operate without the Chinese plants there. So, you know, they effectively have a pretty tight stranglehold on both mine supply and, the finished production out of those operations.
Mark Selby is my guest, CEO of Nickel Canada. How do we do in Canada when it comes to the value add? It's something that we talk about a lot in Saskatchewan. Of course, we've got uranium, we've got potash, and the ability to mine and ship those commodities is something that we're very good at. The value add is something that I think is continually evolving in many parts of Canada. Can you talk about what that looks like in our country for nickel?
Yeah, so I got into the mining industry 25 years ago in senior roles at Inco, and Inco at that time, ran basically integrated operations globally. And so, I can see, the value that can be captured by, continuing to have that downstream value added approach. The reality is in Canada, we haven't done it for 50 years. We've been quite happy to ship the first thing that can come out of a mine that can be shipped somewhere. We're happy to ship it somewhere. And again, from that point forward, all the value add, and the value add can be pretty substantial, happens in whatever country we ship it to. And so, the thing that I've been encouraged, and part of the reason that we're on the priority projects list is we're going to be building those next stage processing plants in the Timmins region as well as the mining. And, what happens is you then create a virtuous circle. Is once you do that first stage of value added processing, it becomes cheaper and more valuable to do the next stage and then the next stage. And so, what I'm hoping is, over the next 10 to 15 years here, we'll be able to be in a position where, Canada can really capture the value from minerals mined here in Canada.
So what then, Mark, are the next steps? If we want to break China's dominance over whether it's supply chains or even just the nickel industry in general, what do we need to do here in Canada?
Yeah, there's really two key focuses. One is, in terms of, helping get the financing going again. It when something hasn't happened for a while in a country, you need to kind of kickstart the capital cycle, to get that funding in place. And I think the programs that the governments have announced over the last few years will really allow us to do that. And the second piece, where we've struggled as a country is, permitting is just taken too long. We need to be rigorous. We can't cut corners. We need to make sure that we've got fair informed consent from the First Nation communities, where we're building these projects. But that doesn't mean that it needs to take, three times and four times longer than it does in other jurisdictions. And again, I think the federal government and the provinces, are very focused on making that better. Our experience with the federal government permitting this project, is a marked improvement from a decade ago when my team permitted another project at that point in time. So there's a lot of good progress being made, and I think we're on the right path going forward here.
Mark Selby from Canada Nickel. Before we say goodbye today, I actually want to talk a little bit about tariffs. Have they been hurtful in your industry? And I think about your connection to steel in many ways. So what has that looked like for your industry?
Yeah, so the good thing for us in nickel is that the United States actually has no nickel processing capacity in the United States. They import 100% of what they need. And so even if they might want to be difficult in terms of where they get their nickel supply, they almost half of their nickel today comes from Canada. And that's only constrained by the fact we don't produce as much in the country as we used to do. So for us, tariffs, are a bit of a nuisance, but there's no real issue for us because both the United States and Europe are solely dependent on large amounts of imports for the nickel they need.
Mark, this has been a great chat. I appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mark Selby, Chief Executive Officer with Canada Nickel. And I love the fact that we are in a country where we have, I can read an article in the Financial Post, say, hey, it would be good to be able to get Mark Selby on the program, and we can make a quick call and get the CEO of an organization like Canada Nickel on the program. And some really good insight, really lots of parallels, too, when you think about the mining that we do in Saskatchewan, the mining they do in Ontario. It's about let's get some government regulation out of the way. Let's do what we can to incentivize investment, because it is that investment that they need in the industry in order to make them competitive on the world stage. Very similar to what we talk about here on a regular basis as well. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.